Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Abans Financial Services Limited, hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nupur Jainkunia from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Nupur Jainkunia from Valorem Advisors. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2026. Before we begin, I would like to thank you all for participating in the earnings conference call of Abans Financial Services Limited. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on the management's belief as well as assumptions made and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements or make any investment decision. The purpose of today's conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce the management participating with us in today's conference call. We have with us Dhrumil Shah, Vice President, Ketur Shah, Vice President, Nirbhaya Vasa, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Ketur Shah for his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Hi, Nupur. Thank you so much for the warm introduction. So I have with me my CFO, Group CFO, Nirbhaya Vasa, and I'm handing over to him for the opening remarks of the Abans Financial Services.
Thank you, Ketur. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. It gives me great pleasure and satisfaction to present the financial highlights for the first quarter of FY26. This quarter reflects the steady execution of our strategy, anchored on diversifying our revenue streams, scaling fee-based businesses, and strengthening our compliance-driven growth model. On a consolidated basis, we delivered revenues of 1,895 crores in quarter one of FY26, led by continued traction in our fee-based investment services and strong performance in our other segments. EBITDA stood at 52.8 crores, reflecting disciplined cost management while investing in our growth initiatives. Net profit for the quarter was 32.69 crores, up 35% quarter on quarter year on year, marking yet another quarter of profitable growth. I would like to take you all through some operational and strategic updates for you all to understand our strategies better. We continue to see robust momentum in our asset management and distribution businesses. Our global arbitrage fund has maintained healthy performance, attracting interest from both domestic and global investors. Strategic partnerships with distributors such as SMC Global and Taurus Wealth are steadily expanding our reach globally. Our NBFC remains focused on lending to SMEs with prudent risk management practices. We are progressing on setting up our lending operations in other jurisdictions through our NBFC, awaiting regulatory clearance. Abans Global Limited, our foreign subsidiary in the UK, has successfully set up a back office center in GIFT City, now fully operational, delivering cost efficiencies and operational scalability. We are actively working on launching different asset management vehicles, both onshore in GIFT City and outside of India, advancing our ability to access capital globally. Our strategy remains centered on scaling high-margin fee-based businesses to ensure earning stability, strengthening global market connectivity while remaining compliant with evolving regulations, leveraging technology for operational efficiency and risk control, and building a diversified revenue base across geographies, products, and customer segments. In the upcoming quarters, we expect continued growth in AUM. We've been able to breach 3,500 crores for the first time this quarter. Steady expansion in our lending book and improved operational leverage as new initiatives start contributing to revenues. We believe AFSL is well positioned to deliver sustainable growth with a balance of performance, prudence and innovation. Thank you for your time and interest in our company. We can now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Smita Mehta, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, management team.
Yes.
Yes, my name is Smith Mehta, and first of all, I wanted to congratulate for an amazing result of Avant Financial Services Limited. Sir, actually, I just have one question. So what are the key factors which is helping AFSL to keep its client and win long-term advisory and asset management deals?
Okay, thank you, Smith. So I think in the asset management space, the first aspect of trying to build an asset management business is visibility and trust. So I believe that the strongest differentiators for us as ABANs are trust, access to global markets, and ability to customize financial products. So we have an ability to give the customer a product based on their risk profile, and clients have stayed with us over the years because we offer a 360-degree view. Both in terms of risk assessment, regulatory navigation, and also execution support through our broking and lending arms. Our asset management verticals are also nimble enough to respond to market changes, because in the last decade we've seen so many volatile events like COVID, tariffs, elections in India, etc. But we've been able to deliver consistent results, and this is not a one-off, right? There is a method to the madness. So this combination of insight, agility and alignment has helped us retain clients and also gain new clients, even though we've had limited visibility because we are an upcoming brand. I hope that answers your question, Smith.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Akruti Acharya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. My question was that, you know, as the company's fee-based income is scaling, do you foresee any improvement in the operating leverage or margin expansion over the next few quarters?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that question. So I was actually, in the last couple of investor calls, I've tried to point out to all the people listening and all our investors that how I view the business is from our segment reporting section. So if you would actually go into our results and check our segment reporting section, you would see what is contributing to the growth of the business. And interestingly, we did a top line of 165 crores in fee-based investment services in the year ended March 31st, 2025, with a profit before tax of 102 crores. With scaling AUMs, obviously, because now that all our infrastructure of asset management is ready, the margin in such businesses keeps expanding as you keep getting AUM. And we've already seen early signs of operating leverage kick in the current quarter results as well as the last entire year's result. many of our distribution and advisory costs are front loaded, and once that infrastructure is set, incremental revenue flows will always come in at a higher margin. So as AUM increases, the fixed cost component of our business remains largely unchanged, allowing us to expand margins substantially. Additionally, we are also investing in digital tools and analytics, obviously with the use of careful AI, to reduce cost per transaction, improve advisor productivity, find new jurisdictions and new products which will support further operating efficiency and new inflows. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Kevin, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So yes, my question is that AUM that has been raised last year, I think, is above 1,000 crores. So what is the strategy for scaling this further? Like, are you looking at deeper regional penetration or like new asset classes?
Thanks, Kevin, for the question. So this is Ketur here. Let me answer this. So the 1,000 crore AUM mark is itself is an important milestone for us right now. We are now building on this by expanding both horizontally and vertically. So horizontally, we are increasing our distribution footprint across more cities, more countries, more partners, and deeper training for our relationship managers. So as you know, we work with through multiple distribution partnerships and channel partners. So we are training them and educating them about our products and services, so through which we are expanding. Vertically, we are introducing new asset classes, including our global equities, private credit funds, and structured solutions. So, you know, we are also into multiple asset classes. So that is also expanding us. So both ways, horizontally and vertically, we are growing, and our AUM is therefore increasing exponentially. Now, that caters to our evolving investor needs also. The aim is to offer a full-stack solution across risk profiles, thereby increasing our wallet share from each client.
Also, would like to point out, as Ketur said, that the 1,000 crore AUM that we're talking about, this is only through distributors. So our overall AUM is 3,500 crores. Now it's 1,300 crores through distribution networks. So in any business like ours, there are two ways to distribute product. One is yourself and one is through distributors. The sum of both is 3,500 crores, and through distributors is more than 1,000 crores. So I just wanted to clarify that point. I hope that answers your question, Kevin.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Raj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, hi. Congratulations on the results, first of all. My question is pretty simple. The company looks solid, right? The business is good. The results are good. The offerings, there is a diverse mix of offerings. But I believe the market seems to miss something, and it is not reflecting fully reflecting its intrinsic value. What is the thing which the market is missing, and what are the steps which the company is taking to, you know, bring that underappreciated or untapped value to the market, to the shareholders, in fact?
Okay, thank you for your question. Normally, we always try to dodge a stock market or a value question, but as a young boy with a deep interest in English literature, I was told this dialogue that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, right? So, I believe, obviously, and if you look at the numbers clearly, you would believe that there is deep value in AFSL that's yet to be fully reflected. But I would like to talk about what we are doing as a business rather than what the market is doing. So because we have an asset-light, high ROE business, the regulatory infrastructure is across multiple geographies, and the strategic optionality embedded in our treasury all continues to deliver this intrinsic value. And our net worth is what is available to us. If I want to basically calculate the net realizable value of this business, my net worth will be in my hands in the next 5 days. So that's the liquidity that this business provides. And over the next 12 to 18 months, we are focused on enhancing disclosures, and our team has worked very hard on delivering a very, very robust and informative annual report, which gives you access to how we as management try to run this business, and we've tried to explain that business in grave detail in our through our disclosures in our annual reports. Hopefully this will improve investor outreach to both current and prospective investors, building investor value and confidence, and showcasing each business line's profitability and understanding more distinctively than before. And as the visibility increases and one talks to two and two talks to 20, I think we will become a household name when it comes to complex financial products, and we are confident that the market will eventually start valuing the differentiated platform that we built, and the people who understand it along the way will be part of the journey. Thank you.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for the answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nikita, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I was, like I said, and I really glad that you mentioned the annual report. I was really impressed by it. I just wanted to know more about the strategic vision of the company for the financial year 26. And also, are there any new products?
Hi, Nikita. This is Rumil. Thank you so much for the question. To answer that, I would say that financial year 2026 is a year of acceleration for us. Our core values this time are going to have three pillars: advisory depth, product innovation, and geographic scale. We're entering the merchant banking space to complement our advisory and capital raising capabilities. We're also launching new products in structured credit and global investing. Our regulated platforms in the UK, Mauritius, and GIFT City will play a key role in tapping international capital flows. Overall, we see financial 26 as a year where AFSL becomes more visible and vertically integrated in the financial services basket. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. That's really something to look forward to. Thanks for the question. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kaval Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi.
Hello.
Sir,
hello.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, as I was seeing the financials, the fee-based income has risen sharply this year. What are the primary factors behind this growth? And how confident are you in sustainability over the medium to long term?
Okay, so firstly, if you notice that the fee-based investment income has gone up substantially, not only in the last year, but since we've gotten listed, because our ability to provide infrastructure globally has expanded substantially in the last couple of years. So the growth in the fee-based income is a direct outcome of our strategic pivot towards fee-based and multi-production, multi-product distribution strategies that we've employed globally. And over the past year, we've seen deeper relationships with larger HNIs, family offices, and even funds that like to invest in our treasury products, and we've expanded our reach nationally as well as globally. I think we are still at the cusp of collecting AUMs at a smaller ticket size, and we would be able to display this solid growth for times to come, and there's a lot of market share to eat into in our national AUMs with mutual funds, AIFs and others. So we believe this growth will be sustainable and recurring in nature, backed by long-term mandates and scalable without proportionate increases in cost. Fee income now forms the most resilient core of our revenue model, and we want to be recognized as a global asset manager. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. I repeat, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our next question is from the line of Viraj Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, team. Given the increasing interest in the alternative investment and management portfolio landscape, how is AFSL positioning itself in the evolving landscape and especially in the mid-market segment? What is the plan of the company?
So, I don't know if everyone in our industry understands the alternative space yet, but the growth in the alternative space and the AIF has been substantially high in the last 5 years. I think in our management analysis or in our annual report, we've spoken a lot about alternate assets, right? And this is a, I won't say underserved, but a huge opportunity in this mid-market space, because at AIF, you need an investor who's willing to put 1 crore of their money as a minimum and not like an SIP where you can put 200, 500 or 5,000 rupees, right? So it's largely a specialist investment and it's under-penetrated and underserved, according to me, still from the perspective of India. We have flagship fund offerings which gives you access to global markets and derivatives, not only equity long products that the market has been running for years. We also offer differentiated advisory portfolios that combine discipline with our agility, particularly useful in volatile market conditions that we've seen for the past few years. So I think your question was that how will we position ourselves? We've already positioned ourselves by building the infrastructure in GIFT, onshore AIFs, GIFT AIFs, as well as funds abroad, which can act as a feeder to the AIFs. So the infrastructure is ready, and we've displayed our execution capabilities both in our results, our numbers, and our AUM growth. So I think time will tell that as to how much market share we are able to claim from the alternate space, and hopefully by building credibility like the way we are doing currently with consistent numbers and performance, early traction gives us confidence to scale further, and we already started a new AIF fund in GIFT, which should have an AUM of approximately $100 million in the coming year. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rahil from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead. Rahil, sir, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
We can hear you.
Yeah, sir, so given these, strategies you have in place and you say you're well-positioned, any sort of outlook you'd like to share when it comes to your AUM growth and revenues and margins for the financial year?
So, again, outlooks are from the perspective of numbers. If you see our fee income expanding the way it did in the last year, as AUMs are rising, our fee income has been rising consistently, and I think we can confidently say that our AUMs will double hopefully every 12 to 18 months, and our fee income, because all the infrastructural fixed costs are inbuilt now, our fee income will further expand in the coming years. So according to me, you can see in the balance sheet that we are firstly a very low gearing company. Two is we have ability to make acquisitions to acquire more fee income. And three is anyway our crown jewels in terms of our global funds are rapidly doubling their AUMs every 12 to 18 months. And I think if our credibility and our consistent performance continues, then you will see these numbers performing just the way they've played out since we got listed.
And other than this fee income, which is your kind of, leader in terms of source of income, what other areas you feel will, push the lever towards an additional revenue growth for the company?
So, I don't want to say that we want to focus on all the businesses equally. I want to focus on building a recurring fee-based model. So it is always going to be our prerogative to build asset management products that will keep pushing our fee income. And we want to use the NBFC and treasury as support functions to our fee-based income. So if it can complement the asset management business, that's why we have these licenses in place to build a robust asset management business and a complementing business to asset management only. We don't want to separately focus on, you know, building a microfinancing NBFC for that matter, because that business requires a different mindset and a different core competency, which I don't want to get into till I perfect what I want to do first. I hope that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. And NBFC, you mentioned you're only lending to SMEs, right? And there's no other focus there?
No, not yet. We are trying to do structured lending when it comes to loan against shares and loan against commodities. But again, the regulatory impact of that is being studied, and the right kind of navigators for those businesses, both in terms of human expertise and system expertise, is being worked upon.
All right, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Raj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just one more question. In the results declared, you have announced that a merger of a subsidiary with the step-down subsidiaries. Just wanted to understand the benefits of this merger and how do you, you know, what are the synergies which you are looking at?
Okay. So, yes, we have announced that we have multiple companies which have different broking licenses nationally. And over a period of time, we've realized and added all the licenses in one entity, which is Evans Broking Services Private Limited. And we wish to bring all the broking businesses under one umbrella, both in terms of improving compliance efficiency, also having a high net worth broking company which can then facilitate larger institutional broking capabilities in the future, because that will meet more or less every large fund house's requirement in terms of having a broking partner like that. So it's a strategic move both to reduce compliance burden, to improve efficiency both in terms of costs and in terms of compliance, and three is to be able to acquire business as an institutional broker nationally. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that answers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. I repeat, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, guys. And a lot of insightful questions, and I hope that gives you clarity in terms of understanding our business. Stay focused and try to understand the business before making any kind of investment decisions, and that's what I would like to say. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Valorem Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.